Good evening. It's wonderful to be here. Thanks for inviting us to come and share again in your time of worship. And I'd like to say a personal thank you from Rosie and I for your praise over the last 12 weeks. It's been a bit of a fun time, a bit of a roller coaster, but we're getting there. Lots of ups, lots of downs, but with God's grace, we're certainly further away than we were along the road than we were 12 weeks ago. So thank you again for your praise. And this evening I want to start by reading two passages of Scripture, both from the New Testament. And the first we're going to read is from Acts chapter 18. And we're going to be reading from verses 24 through to 28. Acts chapter 18, commencing at verse 24. And reading through to verse 28. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the Scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor and talked about Jesus accurately. Though we only knew the baptism of John, he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. When Apollos wanted to go to Achaia, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples there to welcome him. On arriving, he was a great help to those who by grace had believed. For he vigorously refuted the Jews in public debate, proving from the Scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. So that's reading a little bit about Apollos. If we turn now to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we're going to read from verses 4 through to verse 9. And Paul, who wrote the letter to the Corinthians, mentions Apollos here again. Reading from verse 4 to verse 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. This is what Paul wrote. For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere men? What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe, as the Lord had assigned to each his task. I planted the seed. Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants, the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. So we've heard about four people in these two brief passages of Scripture. We've read about Apollos. We've read about Paul. And we've read about Aquila and Priscilla. And each of these people had something to do in the church. And the things that they had to do in the church 2,000 years ago are just the same as people have to do in the church today. There is going to be no difference from what they did then to what we need people to do in the church today. So we're going to look at these four people, and hopefully the three roles that they perform. But who were these people that are mentioned? Who was Apollos? Who were Aquila and Priscilla? Who was Paul? Well, we're told in Acts that Apollos was a Jew from the city of Alexandria in Egypt, a very important city, which was founded by Alexander the Great in 352 BC, and it became the capital of Egypt. Great Greek influence. It also had a very large Jewish community, which is where Apollos came from. And it's also mentioned that he was very learned, and that he learnt the Old Testament scriptures. And he knew the Messiah would come, but there was a gap in his knowledge. He knew about John the Baptist, but he wasn't aware or understanding of being baptized by Christ with the Holy Spirit. And that is where Aquila and Priscilla came in. For these were Jewish tent makers, Aquila and Priscilla, and they had been expelled from Rome by the Emperor Claudius, along with all of the Jews, and they became very close friends of Paul, who was also a tent maker, by the way. And they had travelled with him on his journey from Paul to Ephesus. And Paul, again, a Jew, but also a Roman citizen from the city of Tarsus. Many people know his story, of his conversion on the road to Damascus, of his meeting with the resurrected Christ, who made three missionary journeys that were described in the New Testament, and who eventually died for his faith in Rome. Many of the books and the letters and the instructions that we have in the New Testament today come from his hand. So these four people are mentioned quite strongly in these passages. And the first one we read about was Apollos, as we say, a very learned man. But his understanding was not complete. He was one of the people who came after Paul. Paul was the great evangelist. That's the first role that the church needs today. We need people who are willing to go out there and tell the world about the good news and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. It needs to be done. There are many, many passages we can, and many, many scripture readings we can take that tell us that. But that is what Paul had to do. He was the evangelist. He was the one who went out there and gave the word to the world. And as we have seen, Apollos came after him. He was a teacher. He knew the scriptures. He knew the Messiah was coming. And whilst Paul planted that word, Apollos was there to water it, to germinate it, to make it real in people's lives after the initial message that they had heard. So the second role that we need in our churches, for those people who are willing to be guided by the Holy Spirit to teach others the word that they've already heard, the word that has brought them to know the love, the grace and forgiveness of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need people who are willing to say to them, this is what you must do now to build on that amazing rock at which we set our lives. But even this teacher, we are told, his understanding was not complete until he met Aquila and Priscilla. For they were willing to explain, to instruct, more importantly, to encourage Apollos and to bridge those gaps in his knowledge. And those people are just as important in our church today as those who go out and speak the word, just as important as those who teach people who have received the word, because we all need someone who is willing to be patient with us, to explain, to instruct us, and to encourage us. Where would our church be? Think back to when you became Christians. Think to where you are now in your walk with Christ and in your walk with the people around you in this church. Where would we be without those people who told us first? Where would we be without those people who taught us? And where would we be without those people who constantly instruct, explain, and encourage us. We need all of those people in our church today. Because that's what God has set out his church. That's how he wants it to be. Because he says, doesn't he, throughout the New Testament, Paul writes, there are many parts to the body, but we're all one body. There are many gifts of the Spirit, but there's only one Spirit. And there are many jobs to do in the church, but they all need to be done together. We can't do them in isolation. We can't be alone when we do them. It must have been an amazing time to be around when Paul was preaching, when Apollos was teaching, and when people like Aquila and Priscilla were there to encourage and explain. It must have been an amazing time to be in the new church, to be starting something new. But the amazing thing is, 2,000 years later, our church is still new. Our church is still growing. We are so privileged to be part of a living church that is growing day by day across the world. We may not feel it in our little part of the world, but across the world, how many billions of people today have worshipped the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen to that. How many people have, in freedom like us, come together to meet, or in places where it's almost a death sentence to say the name of Jesus? Yet God's church still grows. There are people still willing to be evangelists. There are people still willing to teach. And there are people waiting to have the courage to explain and to come alongside people. And the amazing thing is, from what Paul wrote in Corinthians that we read, but Paul did not see Apollos as a threat or as a rival to his planting of a church. He didn't see him as a rival teacher of a different message. What Paul saw was what God had given him. He had a message to give. Apollos had a message to give. They built on each other. Over the years, unfortunately, we as a church, since this time, have found ways to become segregated. We have found ways to follow one teaching, to say that is wrong, and then say this is right, and that is wrong. There are thousands and thousands of books that have just confused people when it comes to learning about Jesus, that have not made it simple, that have not kept the gospel message simple. Paul didn't see it that way. Neither did Jesus in his ministry. You read in the Gospels where some of his disciples said, Jesus, there was a man casting out demons in your name, and we told him to stop because he wasn't one of us, wasn't one of our gang. And Jesus said, whoa, don't stop him. If he is driving out demons in my name, don't stop him. Because who forever is for us cannot be against us. Jesus knew that all those who had faith and trusted in him have a role to play. It's the same message. Paul was the evangelist who planted the seed, and Apollos was the teacher who watered the seed. Their work was complementary and not conflicting. They worked together. Because this is a very sad and broken world. When the church was growing, after the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, and after the message was taken out from Jerusalem and to the ends of the earth, it was a very sad world, a very lonely, bitter, violent world. And ours isn't any different today. we still have a violent, bitter, angry world in which we stand for our Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul writes to remind us in Romans chapter 10, in verses 13 to 15, he says these words, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one from whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." There has to be evangelism for our church to grow. There has to be teachers. But even Paul and Apollos, they had people in their lives who planted and watered the seed. If you look at Paul's life, you see what his life was like in Jerusalem before he met the Lord Jesus. He tried to destroy the church that he would end up building. And he met with Christ himself. And he was also tended by Ananias in Damascus. Paul felt the wonder of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ through evangelism of Jesus himself and through the gentle teaching and encouragement of Ananias. Apollos, he read in Alexandria, that great city. He understood the scriptures. Being a very learned Jew, he knew the Messiah would come. And he was watered and encouraged by Aquila and Priscilla in Ephesus. We have had it in our lives. Think back to all those people who have done that to you, who first told you about Jesus. For some of us, that might be way back. I'm not saying anyone's old. I'm just saying that our walk might have started a few years ago. For those of us, it might be a newer walk, and it might be easier to look back. But people have played those parts in our Christian life. There is no doubt about that. We have been watered by someone. Someone has planted the seed. Because Jesus said to all those who believe in his name, in Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20. Then Jesus said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am always with you to the very end of the age." And that's the message that the great feat that Paul wrote about in Romans is talking about. It's about that message. Those are the parts that we are to play in people's lives today because someone has done it for us. Christ died for us. We've sung about that this evening beautifully. And he has sent people, Paul, who 2,000 years ago started telling people about Jesus, and through the Bible is still telling people about Jesus 2,000 years later. Time doesn't matter to the Lord because he controls it. But the most important thing to remember from the verses that we have read today, certainly from that one in 1 Corinthians, is Paul's words. And this really must be a very important point for us to take away this evening. It is God who does the growing, and it is God who does the changing in people's lives. We cannot do that. We may think we can, But that is not for us to do because we couldn't even change ourselves. And if we can't change ourselves, how on earth can we go and change someone else? How hypocritical would that be of us to try and change someone when we couldn't even change ourselves? We needed the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ to change us. And it is God who does the growing and the changing. Because God sees everything. God knows everything about us. Wow. Now, there's a double-edged sword, isn't it? The Lord knows everything about us. That's great for the things we want everyone to know about us. How great we are. That's marvelous. It's just that those little bits that we don't want anyone else to know about us are the very bits that God is going to change in us eventually. And he changes it over our lifetime. So he knows everything, even the dark things that we don't want anyone else to know about us. He knows them. And he will change them slowly and surely through our lives as he prepares us for the work we have to do on earth, for that time where we get to spend an eternity worshipping and praising him in heaven. We have a very short time on earth, but it's preparing us for an eternity. And we, in this room, this evening, hopefully, have an eternity to look forward to. Because someone went out and planted the word of Jesus in our hearts. Someone came behind them and very kindly watered them. And someone else comes alongside us in our church life and still explains, instructs, and encourages us. So there is a whole world out there who have a totally different eternity. People you know, people I know and love, they have not gone through the changing from being a caterpillar to being a butterfly. They've not gone through that process of being a very small seed and growing into something that God can use. Because that process of going from caterpillar to butterfly and from seed to the plant that it becomes is the very process that we go through when we go from damnation, which is where we before we knew our Lord Jesus Christ, to salvation, which is what we have now in him. We are told in the Bible that we die to our old selves and we are born again into a new self with Christ. We are transformed from the caterpillar into the beautiful butterfly in the eyes of our God. All our old life of dirt and darkness, of hurt, of pain, of suffering, that's now all being cleansed, healed, and we've been brought into a place of hope and light. But the amazing thing is that the work has been done inside us where no one can see. It's been done in our hearts. Praise be to the Lord what people see on the outside of us are the results of the work that he has done in us. When you think of the person you were before to the person you are now, and to think of the love that he has given us that we have to go out and give to other people. The one fact that these words speak to me when I started putting them together was just how much we need each other in this church and in the church of God. Just how much we have to give to each other to be able to receive all that the Lord wants us to receive. because we all have amazing gifts. Every one of us has an amazing gift. And we're all unique. Every one of us is different to the other person. Thank the Lord for that. That we are all different. We all have different backgrounds and experiences. But you know what? There will be someone you speak to in your life that will come from exactly that background and experience. And the words that you speak to them of the change that Jesus made in your life could be the difference between them standing alongside you in heaven in eternity, or spending an eternity cut off from God and not knowing the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we say, we don't do the changing. But we have a job to do. Whatever that role is within the church, we have a job to do. We have to be out there talking, teaching, encouraging, explaining, and instructing. How awful it must be if you come into a church after having someone plant that word of God in you and someone teaching it and you having no one to come alongside you and encourage you. Can you imagine a church like that? I've never been in one, thankfully. I doubt for one minute this is one either. Because that ability to love each other, because God first loved us, is what sets the church apart. We are so bound together in love. And God does have a sense of humor. I mean, look around at us. I mean, just look at us. If it wasn't for Jesus, would we all be here this evening? Would we be in the same place together? Or would we be watching Country Club? Or Sky Sports, thank the Lord. Or anything. We wouldn't be worshipping here together without someone fulfilling these three roles in our lives. So let's not be afraid of looking at around each other in the church. Let's never be afraid of encouraging someone who goes out and spreads the word. Let's never be afraid to go up to someone and say, I think what you taught today was amazing. Let's never be afraid to come along someone and say, did you understand that? Because I got slightly stuck on some of it. And to be an encouragement to each other. It's only by doing that can we allow God to make us grow. By admitting that we have to become selfless and not selfish. We need to know that God knows everything and He is in total control. Just look at the results around us this evening of the change in people's lives. And Paul tells us throughout his ministry that we have to be thankful to the people who plant and water the seed. But we must never, ever forget that the glory must always, always go to the Lord. Amen.